You know, when we have germs and stuff going around in schools, and you want to make sure your child stays healthy, a big key to that is ensuring they're getting plenty of fruits and vegetables. They're having all these different food groups each day offered in a way that hopefully they're gonna eat them.
Are you raising your family while also feeling like you're still growing up yourself? Do you wonder if you are getting it right? Or do you ask, where's the roadmap to building a happy, healthy life? Welcome to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. She's a pediatrician and a mom, and she helps the whole family.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sarah Adams, a board-certified pediatrician, but I'm not your pediatrician. Feel free to use my podcast as helpful information, but in no way do I intend my podcast to replace the advice of your physician. Your physician knows you and is in the best position to provide medical advice.
Welcome back to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah, the podcast where we explore practical, science-based advice to help kids thrive at every stage. I'm Dr. Sarah Adams. Today, we're talking with Anna Butzenberg, a registered dietitian and nutrition affairs manager with the American Dairy Association Mideast. Anna shares her expertise on helping families make informed nutritional choices, from supporting brains and bones to managing lactose intolerance, fueling young athletes, and incorporating dairy into sustainable diets. Plus, we'll discuss how the new Parenting at Mealtime and Playtime app puts expert guidance right in your pocket, helping parents make healthy, practical choices every day. Welcome, Anna. So great to see you again.
It's wonderful to see you too. I'm so excited to get to have this conversation with you today.
Anna, many of us grew up drinking milk as a normal and necessary part of a balanced diet, but milk has gotten a bad rap in the last decade for a variety of reasons. Let's talk about the mixed reputation dairy has. Where do you think the recent negative reputation comes from, and is it fair?
Right. And I think that feeling and sentiment that you just expressed is shared by so many people. I think that there is confusion, some misinformation, even changes in nutrition guidance, either through the dietary guidelines or just other federal, you know, oversight committees. And so it just leads consumers and families kind of wondering, questioning, and not quite sure maybe what to choose. So I think that is a completely understandable concern.
I hope so, too. I think let's start with, what's the upsides of dairy? Which nutrients would you say are most important for supporting brain development, strong bones, and a healthy immune system?
Definitely. So I think this has also been really new and, well, not new, but discussed a lot, especially on social media, protein. So the beauty, especially of dairy foods, is that this entire food group contains a great source, a nutrient-rich amount of protein here. And so that is critical to child development in terms of helping to provide sustained energy, supporting obviously muscle and just overall like skeletal growth. And additional to that, you mentioned bones. So calcium and phosphorus, right? I think everyone kind of ties that to dairy foods. And that is 100% true, right? The calcium and phosphorus that you're getting in dairy foods, again, is a nutrient powerhouse. It is able to very effectively, in a small quantity, get you a lot of that calcium and phosphorus that your growing child needs each day. There's one other nutrient that I think doesn't get as much recognition as maybe it should, and that is iodine. And so iodine specifically is very key to neurocognitive development. So that is like how that child's brain is growing, right? And so in that first 1,000 days of that child's life, that's crucial. And so milk is a very nutrient-rich source of iodine. A lot of foods don't have it. Some vitamins do. Obviously, some iodized salt will include iodine. But dairy foods is a great way to get that nutrient that can help boost your child's brain growth.
And it's so important, too. You mentioned the first 1,000 days, is that a little extra fat is good for them as well.
Correct.
But how much of these nutrients should kids get daily? Like, how can parents fit it into meals?
Right. So I think one of the key things here is that we can go into all of the numbers, but in the end, I feel like maybe that just leads the parent feeling like, I don't remember how much. I think the big takeaway is understanding to get all of your food groups in. And if you're working in fruits and vegetables with meals and snacks, you're incorporating protein-rich foods that could come from animal sources, beans from plant sources, and you're incorporating those in, again, with snack and mealtimes, as well as dairy and even grains, right? So that can be coming from bread, crackers. If we're including all that, we're going to be hitting a lot of these nutrients that a lot of people struggle with. Most people aren't eating all these food groups. And so making that concerted effort is huge. And choosing foods that are then also nutritionally dense, meaning that they have all that protein, they have that vitamin D, they have that calcium, that iodine, right? All packed in that food so that parent can rest assured that when they're handing their child, you know, that orange, they're getting a great source of vitamin C. If they hand them a glass of milk, they're getting a lot of calcium and a really great source of protein. And so I think that helps to kind of relieve some of the pressure a lot of parents feel, because every parent wants to do best by their child, right? And so just reassuring them that aim for the food groups, try to get those on your child's plate, work them in as you can, and that will help provide that reassurance that you're doing a great job.
It's so true. What are some of the common nutrient gaps that you see in a child's diet?
It's a lack of variety. And I would say it's even common for adults, right? Yeah. And so if you're, as the parent or the adult or caregiver, struggling to get in enough fruits and vegetables, I would venture to bet that your child or the child that you're caring for is probably struggling with that too. So making that concerted effort at every mealtime, offer a fruit and a vegetable. I mean, I know that sounds kind of crazy for breakfast, but maybe incorporating in that vegetable at a snack time would work as well. Pairing those carbohydrate or grain sources with a protein item. So if we think about, it's pretty easy to give your kid goldfish, right? They all love goldfish. But can we pair it with a protein-rich food? So that way they're going to feel more full. It's going to stick in their system, and they're going to use it for that energy source for a little longer. And it's going to keep them from being cranky too, right? Because, all, you know, kids, when they get hungry, they get emotional. I mean, I do too. And so having that understanding. So I think that those pairings together, I think, are really helpful. And then you're going to be getting those nutrients, some of which we already discussed, in terms of meeting their protein needs, meeting their calcium, helping boost their immune system. You mentioned that right at the top, that, you know, that's key, especially, you know, when we have germs and stuff going around in schools, and you want to make sure your child stays healthy. A big key to that is ensuring they're getting plenty of fruits and vegetables. They're having all these different food groups each day offered in a way that hopefully they're gonna eat them.
Anna, you and I are longtime professionals educating families about their health. That's why we've been working together with the Ohio AAP's Parenting at Mealtime and Playtime program to create an app to help families who are already juggling. As a consultant on the app, can you share an example of how families can use the app to make small but meaningful changes?
Yes.
If you're a parent or caregiver and find this nutritional information helpful, please like, subscribe, and share it with others you think can use the information. And if you're looking for more tech tools that might make your life a little easier as you balance your family's meals and activities, we'll have information about the Parenting and Mealtime and Playtime app and other resources in the show description below.
So I love that the Ohio AAP took the time and utilized their wealth of resources in terms of knowledge and just expertise to help make a resource that can be on everyone's phone, right there in their pocket, that families can get access to these, you know, frequently asked questions. And I think it leads into then even a conversation when they are in that pediatrician office. Because, again, every parent wants to do the best that they can. But sometimes you might be a little embarrassed, or you might not know where to start, or maybe you have a question right in this moment, and you're not going to go into the pediatrician's office for maybe this specific question. Maybe it is about food, for instance. So using the PMP app and having that on your smartphone is going to give you access to your child's age. It's organized by the age of your child. And then within that section, you're going to find information on food and some guidance on maybe what is developmentally appropriate, especially for your first-time parent and your child is starting solids, for instance, right? And also some information about physical activity, discussion about safe sleep, and even sleep practices as a child gets older, right? Limiting screen time. All of these things I know even me as a parent have had questions about. And so I think that it provides that easily accessible resource to families, and then I hope would lead to further discussions, you know, as they're needed when they're in that pediatrician's office.
As a consultant on the app, can you share an example of how families can use the app to make small but meaningful changes?
Definitely. I think that the utilization, I love, obviously I'm a dietitian, I like the food piece, and I have really enjoyed the fact that along each age group that's called out in the app, food is included in each section. Identifying key nutrients that are needed there for that child based on their age. And that's the thing about children as they grow, right? As a parent, you watch your child change very quickly at times. And
so
their nutrition needs change too. And so it's not just a one and done set recommendation. And there'll be times, especially in infancy and toddlerhood, where a lot of growth is happening over a short period of time. And, you know, their calcium needs might shoot up. Or, you know, we're talking about brain development. A lot of that brain growth is happening within that first 2 years. So really nourishing growing brains is key. Now, not that that doesn't continue into, let's say, kindergarten and elementary school, but then you're going to hit, of course, puberty, right? And then that older child is going to go through a growth spurt. So the app is then providing, based on that age, those very specific recommendations. Again, not complex. There's videos, there's handouts, there's other materials, you know, based on how you would like to review this or, you know, maybe what questions you have. Some of us love to watch a video, and other times it's just nice to maybe skim over a handout. And so those different types of modalities, I guess, for providing that education is available. Again, short videos, nothing here is, I would say, overwhelming. It's very accessible. And I think that that, again, is empowering parents to use it as a quick resource. Check and see, you know, if there is an answer to your question there. There is some frequently asked questions that are called out specifically. And so maybe that would be a helpful guide. And again, if anything is not able to be answered in that app, of course, follow up with your child's pediatrician.
But I like how you mentioned the fact that it's a great resource and like sounding board to know even what questions to ask. And there are so many trends these days how parents are using digital tools to support health at home. What are the trends you're seeing?
So I think most all of us have a smartphone and we're trying to use it to help simplify or organize, I guess, our lives. And so one of those modalities is, you know, how can I leverage this mini computer to help me parent better, right? And so with, you mentioned some confusion, some misinformation that's commonly out there, a lot of us do spend time on digital, you know, social media platforms. A lot of people have thoughts and express them. Some of them are great thoughts. Others might be misleading and might provide some information that isn't accurate. So I always encourage families to identify credible resources. And if you have a question or a thought, I mean, feel free to, yes, ask your family, ask your friends, get that feedback. But then I guess check it with your credible sources. So I would say that, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics is a credible resource. And so having this tool as kind of being just a double check of, let's say you heard something and you're wondering, oh, well, is that true? How do I feel about that? You know, how does that impact my child? And, you know, using this app as a way to just double check that would be very helpful, I think, for families.
And I love how you mentioned it's really easy to use. And you and I, in the consultations that we did together, we worked on that to make sure it was. And very easy readable, very easy to track it. And there's even notifications if you sign up and so on. You know, a common health concern in recent years is lactose intolerance and the impact that food has on our digestive health. Lactose intolerance can be really confusing. How can they tell the difference between a normal digestive like upset and lactose intolerance itself?
Right. No, that's a great question. And it can be confusing, right? And I think with any type of GI situation, you kind of have to tease out what it's not and then work to kind of correlate it to, well, what might be causing this? And so I think lactose intolerance kind of falls into that same category, right? So to understand, I think first is to recognize what lactose intolerance is. So, like the name suggests, your body actually isn't able to break down lactose effectively. So there's a little enzyme, and it is called lactase. And so that lactase enzyme breaks down that lactose carbohydrate strand. It's really long. And so for your body to be able to use that carbohydrate or, you know, lactose source, it needs to be chopped up so your body can digest it properly. Without lactase, that isn't happening. So your body instead is having that lactose kind of reside in your, you know, intestines. And so it's going to not be broken down appropriately. And that then leads to common symptoms that patients might be describing, their families might be, you know, hearing them express, oh, my stomach hurts. Or, you know, maybe I'm having struggles with my stool. Maybe it's either I'm constipated or the reverse of that, I'm having diarrhea and it's just really uncomfortable. And so that being able to, I guess, take note of those symptoms and then look to see if there's any tie-in with lactose-containing foods. And in terms of the dairy category, the food that has the most lactose is going to be liquid milk. And so a lot of times, you know, parents might be able to correlate that with, okay, my child is, you know, drinking, maybe it's a lot of milk. And then I'm noticing, you know, these GI symptoms. And then that would prompt, I would hope, a conversation with that pediatrician of, you know, this parent identifying this and bringing that to the healthcare provider and saying, you know, I've noticed this. Like, could this be related?
I love how you mentioned taking notes, because a lot of times if you're not paying attention, it's really hard to remember when you're sitting in front of your pediatrician to tell them exactly what symptoms they have related to which foods. What are some practical strategies to help kids get the essential nutrients we were talking about, even if they're lactose intolerant?
Yeah. So I think one of the big things is to understand, I mentioned a spectrum. So when it comes to even lactose in dairy food items, it's going to kind of run the gamut. Obviously, a liquid milk, like I mentioned previously, is going to have the most amount of lactose in just traditional regular cow's milk. Now, the other side of that is going to be a lactose-free milk. So there are a plethora of different lactose-free options that are now available in the market. So you can find a variety of different liquid milks where they actually add lactase enzyme into the milk product that breaks down the lactose for you. So you don't have to rely on your body to do it. It has been added to that food product. So that can be a great resource for people. There's other products too that are available that have lactase added that are lactose-free. And then also considering naturally, some dairy foods just have less lactose. So for example, Greek yogurt, as well as cottage cheese, regular cheddar mozzarella cheese tend to have less amounts of lactose than compared to regular cow's milk. So the dairy category, I feel like there are so many different options that you can find something that might work for you. And so just calling that out, and if you do have a selective eater, you know, kind of being creative. Maybe out of this list, they really love yogurt. So then we note that, okay, we're going to intentionally choose the Greek yogurt. And then, okay, you know, I did notice when we eat a lot of the Greek yogurt, we might have some symptoms here that are unpleasant. So let's maybe decrease the amount. That way we're not cutting out a food group or an item entirely, but instead you're finding a way to kind of have it fit the needs of that child.
And I love the tips about introducing lactose-free options to these picky eaters, because that's always a struggle when they're intolerant, for example, and then there's only so many things that they'll choose. How can parents mix and match foods to meet the nutrient needs without overcomplicating meals?
Yes. So I think that being able to incorporate those like combo foods. And so sometimes, again, for those picky or selective eaters, mixing up the foods might not be the answer, but maybe they join each other on the plate. And so we have preferred foods and non-preferred foods, and we work them in together. And so that way that child has an exposure, because when you're eating food, it's not just about putting the food item into your mouth, chewing and swallowing. I mean, yes, that is the main objective. However, it's about sitting at a table. It's about having a conversation with the people that you're with. It's about smelling the food, touching the food, interacting with the food. So I don't want to lose sight of that, especially for those, you know, families that might have that picky or selective eater where mealtime can be stressful. So just recognizing that if your child is interacting with the food, if they're touching it, if they're talking, if you're talking about it, you know, discussing, oh, hey, this yogurt is really smooth, or, you know, it's a little wet when I touch it with my finger. And, oh, look, I'm just going to lick it and just try it and see what I think. So it is so much more of an experience. And so I just like to call that out because I think, too, we get really stuck in, oh, my gosh, they didn't eat enough. Or I look at the plate and I'm like, that's just not enough food. And so trying to kind of walk back that stress and instead appreciate the whole experience, I think can be empowering for parents to reassure them that, like, hey, you know, maybe they didn't eat all of that, but they tried it. They interacted with it. Like, we had a positive mealtime.
That is such a great positive message for parents, and because it does get really stressful. What's the biggest mistake you see parents making around fueling their kids for activity? The app also talks about nutrition, but also activity. So what are some of the mistakes that you see that they're making?
I think one of the biggest ones is kind of just prioritizing that. Again, as a working parent especially, I mean, you're trying to fit it all in, get your child to and from daycare, school. But I would also encourage you to set aside time in that schedule for some physical activity. It can be something formal, like a sports team or gymnastics or something like that. But if that's not the stage of life that you're in or able to be accommodated right now, it can be as simple as going outside. Now, if the weather's not conducive to that choice, playing in your basement, playing in your front room, doing something where you're making the effort of, you know, my kid needs to move around and release these wiggles and be active. And then you as the parent, you know, encouraging them to do that. I think also demonstrating that as the parent as well. So encouraging, it can be as simple as a walk, like go on a walk with your child. And again, if they're too little, I mean, you can push them in the stroller too. And that way you're demonstrating that for them as well. So I think those types of tips, right? And I think some of those are in the app, kind of encouraging that way of, yes, it can be formal. It can be a sports team, but it can be informal. And I think just trying to be cognizant of that as a parent can be hard. It's a lot to keep track of, but I think rewarding in the sense of, you know, that physical activity is going to help with their behavior, with, you know, getting them exercise. It's going to help you, especially if you're doing it with them. So it's just a win-win for everybody involved.
It's so true, because parents do feel overwhelmed. And my next question is, those that feel overwhelmed by all the health advice online that you mentioned, how can apps like the PMP app help simplify decisions around meals, snacks, and physical activity? And I'd also love to hear one of your favorite snacks that kids enjoy.
I mean, this is an app that you can go to, you can pull up, you can have confidence that the recommendations here are coming from, you know, experts in their field, evidence-based practice that has the best, you know, intention and welfare of the child in mind. And so with that being said, I think that recognizing there are going to be easy, quick little nuggets of information that when you review that app and you get into and you see, oh, my six-year-old, it might even spark an idea of maybe this is your third kid. Maybe you've done this, but what if there's another additional question? Or maybe this child, each child's different, right? So maybe this one has some challenges that your other children didn't have. And so using that app as that tool, that credible source, can be, I think, very empowering. When it comes down to snacks, I mean, there are recommendations in terms of ideas for food, snack pairings, things like that in the app as well. I love snacks that are going to be easy. I mean, I'm busy. My kids are busy. And, you know, sometimes it's a grab-and-go situation. And there is no shame in that. And so I have stuff available that I know that if I can grab my to-go snack, cheese stick, beef stick, packaged muffins even, yogurt that is in a little squeezy pouch, if I take that with me, I know that my child is going to get relatively, you know, balanced, kind of healthy snack versus me having nothing, feeling kind of desperate and overwhelmed and just having to try to find something. Whereas I feel, I guess, more empowered trying to bring along something that I've already gotten from the grocery. I've already made that choice, right? And I'm just bringing it along with me. I think that that can be a great way to ensure that your child is getting a variety of different foods. And you've kind of done the legwork ahead of time to make that more healthful choice.
What's one small way a parent could use the app for their family that would have a big impact?
I think that one of the biggest ways that they can use the app is honestly, it's going to sound kind of cliche, but opening it up, locating, you know, where their child is, how old their kid is, and kind of jumping in and taking a look at a video. I mean, I love some of the videos that are on there. They're engaging. They're short. I mean, all of us love video content. That's fabulous. And so being able to use that resource, getting in and learning through that avenue, I would just encourage them to download it, to jump in and see what they like. And if they have feedback, thoughts, you know, have them reach out. Let us know. We'd love to improve this, right? And make it even a better user experience.
And I'd like to add to that, that all of the content is really quick and simple. It's not a lot to read or watch or listen to. So you can definitely fit it in into a very busy life. Thank you so much, Anna, for taking the time to share this valuable health information from the American Dairy Association and the work you've done to make lives of parents and families a little easier.
Thank you for having me.
Produced by Autovita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.